Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Wednesday. First of yesterday's news, I and Glenn ZB, we're looking back at Tuesday. It's not going to be the most fun podcast, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, because some of the content's a bit rough. This Renee Nalfahu thing, obviously, we can touch on that. We've got a refugee stoush, because apparently we've said, hey, come on over here, which means that then they can come here and then go to Australia, and Australia's not happy about that. Testing drugged drivers, not just drunk ones, and a year of Trump. But before any of that, Neil Diamond not coming. Stink.
There was Jonathan Livingston Seagull about the movie about the seagull. There was The Dove, the movie about sailing around the world. There was Storm Boy, a movie about an albatross or a pelican. Seemed as though it was all about nature movies in those days. But flip, we oscillated between ridicule and awe of Neil Diamond and the concept album Jonathan Livingston Seagull. A lot of it was just chanting. Was it any good? I don't know. It's been years since I've listened to it, probably 40 years. But it went on forever. I don't think I went to see the movie. I was too young. The brothers went. But yeah, wow. And I suppose the question we need to ask is, because Neil's pulled the pin from the mission because he's got Parkinson's. And I'm thinking, wow, who should they replace it with? My vote would be, if they're going to replace Neil Diamond with anyone, my top three would be, number one, obviously for me, would be Gordon Lightfoot. That's got my number one vote for who should replace Neil Diamond at the mission. Number two for me probably would be, I'm sort of oscillating between Rod Stewart, I wouldn't mind to see again. It's Carly Simon. A lot of them, you don't know if they're alive or dead. I wouldn't mind seeing Rod Stewart. Of course, he's into his model trains. But that's about it as far as the great singer-songwriters go.
I don't know. Do you really put Gordon Lightfoot? What about people like Billy Joel, Elton John? There are a lot of... Marcus... Sometimes I feel like he needs to get out more. Sometimes I feel like he gets out too much. Now, Renee Nalfahu, but this is a bit of a shocker, and it led to some shocking talkback. I don't mean bad, I mean it was shocking.
How long has your daughter been in counselling for?
Well, just initially, for about 6 months. And then that was it.
And you believe that after she hears about this sentence, she will have to go back?
Yeah. Because the whole thing, just even having to go through all this drama and relive the whole thing all over again, has just got her so upset. She had days off work, just so stressed about it all.
Don't tell us where she works or anything like that, but how's she coping now? What's she up to?
It seems to be in the back of her mind often. I try not to bring it up too much because she doesn't particularly want to talk about it. Today that was just like the not icing on the cake for her at all. You know, we were thought at least he'd be given something, not just this is like nothing. And it's just upsetting to see. And it's just, to me, it's just giving the wrong impression to all the other people out there that do the same thing.
Oh, crikey. In fact, yeah, there was a lot of, like I said earlier in the podcast, a lot of serious issues yesterday. We've got people coming here by the boatload, apparently, because they see it as an easy way to get into Australia.
I think that we should have a really good look at countries like Sweden and see what's happening over there. It's now I've got 50 no-go zones due to refugees. It's got the highest rape rate in Europe due to refugees. We should just study other people and what's going on in their countries before we actually let all these people in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not for it. I'm all for our quota and doing our bit. I'm even for raising it slightly. But at the moment, I think, given what we're dealing with the criminals coming back from Australia to a country where they know not a soul, where they're going to need huge amounts of resources to get them to assimilate into society, we've got enough on our hands without taking another 150 very troubled souls.
Exactly. I mean, you know, looking back at why Australia's tightened up on us was during the 90s when everyone was, all the people would come here, get a New Zealand passport and go on to Australia, pardon me, and the Australian government got sick of it, and that's why they've hardened up so much. And
you can hardly blame them. No, I don't blame them either. And I also don't, you know, as much as I don't like having criminals with no, you know, who have no relationship with New Zealand at all, who spent their time in Australia from the time they were babies, who went all through the school system in Australia, who worked in Australia and ended up in prisons in Australia, coming back here, it's still their country and they can decide what they want to do and who they have there.
Yeah, I mean, personally, when it comes to Australia, I like to take the view that it doesn't exist. And I'll just pretend that it's not happening. Unless I'm there on holiday, of course, in which case I go to bits of it that aren't connected to the other bits. You know, pretend bits like Port Douglas, where it's all happy, lovely rainbows. And crocodile, there's a few too many crocodiles there these days. I don't know where I'm going to go now. Don't drive on drugs. I don't think it's a new message from the cops.
Can you explain what the detail of the bill is? What are you wanting here?
Well, I want to have police able to take more affirmative action against those recreational drug takers who think they can get in behind a wheel and drive without being pulled up.
What sort of, so we're talking about cannabis and methamphetamine, those types of things, anything?
Yeah, we're talking about ecstasy, methamphetamine and cannabis, that's it. And, you know, anecdotally people know that they can be pulled up at a alcohol testing station and high and be able to drive right through, no problem.
What is wrong with the current system?
The current system is pretty archaic. I mean, the police are able to check some physical attributes of the driver, like they used to do with drink driving years and years ago, you know, like spell your name backwards, stand on one leg, touch your nose with your left hand and then your right hand sort of thing, walk in a straight line. It's pretty ridiculous, really. So what I want to do is bring the technology to enable saliva testing, simple as that. So you can get technology now that enables these drugs to be picked up in the saliva, and once there's a positive result, obviously further action can be taken.
I've always found it kind of ironic, that term positive result. It's the same with diseases as well. Like if you test positive, it's actually the most negative thing that can happen. Same with the drug test, isn't it? If you test positive, that's negative. That's bad. Stop getting bogged down in silly word games and let's talk about Trump 1 year on.
The liberal laid-back Californians have no time for Trump. They were talking impeachment and sex abuse charges and mental illness. They were lapping up the Fire and Fury book. They were donning the Free Melania caps. But then in came a swathe of Rose Bowl supporters for the college football, which was being played in Pasadena while we were there. Supporters from the University of Georgia. They arrived in their hundreds and were instantly recognisable. They stood out. They were very obviously not Californians. They wore big hats and aggressively chewed gum and pushed past you on the street. They had matching jerseys and spoke loudly, and most of them looked like the before ads on those weight loss campaigns. They yelled loudly at their children. They were not the kind of people who were going to vote for Oprah, ever. So will these supporters save him? Will this base be his saving grace? So much of this presidency, including how he even got there in the first place, has been shock and awe. But what he's doing right, Mr. Trump, if anything, is he's playing to his core support base. Every time he tweets, plays golf or slams the media, they're lapping it up. So 1 year on, and despite the controversy, the polarization and the mistakes, will we possibly see a two-term Trump presidency? I don't think so. But then again, a year ago, I was wrong.
Yeah, interesting. I think safe to say, Kate, not really a fan. Not a massive fan. And that interests me, given that the next guy who comes into that studio, what's his name, Mike Hosking, he spent a lot of time yesterday defending him, or he spent a lot of time this week defending him. So, they must have some interesting conversations, those two hosts living in the same house. What do you reckon? I don't like to think about it too much. I'm Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB for Wednesday. I will see you back here again tomorrow.